Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Toronto victory tonight. Sabres unable to win two in a row. A repeating storyline here for this season as we welcome you to 716 Food and Sport. I'm Brian Colziel. It's the Paul William Belts official Sabres post-game show. Well, Buffalo scored first in a period dominated by the Leafs. Then in the second, Toronto got a couple that grabbed their first lead, and they never trailed again. Then Toronto a 3-1 lead with an early goal in the third. Nylander for Buffalo made it interesting at 3-2, but an empty netter from Hyman sealed things up. A 4-2 Toronto final. As the Leafs nation that was in the building tonight are starting to infiltrate here at 716 Food and Sport, as they tend to do on nights like this. And when they win, they also tend to be a little bit louder in terms of the background noise that I'm sure you'll be hearing here across the way on our Paul William Belts postgame. Coming up here in just a few moments, we'll be heading to the Sabres locker room and Paul Hamilton. He's on his way there now, so we'll get some player reaction to this Leafs victory here tonight as Toronto has now beaten Buffalo five straight games. We'll also have Phil Housley and his live postgame comments when he meets with Paul and the rest of the media. We will take you there for that. Of course, all the necessary stats and highlights. We will break down the rest of the night in the National Hockey League, update you on the NHL standings, and, of course, keep you posted, too, on the NCAA tournament. Tonight, Arizona State and St. John's are playing. Why is that of interest? Well, UB fans know the winner plays Buffalo, and right now it's all Bobby Hurley's Arizona State Wildcats. Right now it is a... Did I just say Wildcats? Sun Devils, sorry. I don't know why I said Wildcats. Arizona State Sun Devils. It is 31-15, Arizona State over St. John's. 6 minutes to go in the first half, so we'll keep you posted on that, as again, UB has the winner on Friday in Tulsa. But we're here to talk about the Sabres, and also, if you'd like to join us, you can do so. 803-0550 is the local number, 1-888-552-550, the toll-free line. You can also send me a tweet on Twitter, at Brian WGR. You can also send us a text at the station. That number is 550-550. Also, toward the end of our Paul William Belts postgame show tonight, we'll have more of the conversation from earlier this afternoon on our flagship station on WGR with Sabres general manager Jason Botterill. We played a few minutes of it during our second intermission report tonight, and we'll play the rest of it with some interesting things said by the Sabres GM, just how to handle these last few weeks of the season for the Sabres tonight, playing in game 73. We're now down to single-digit games left for Buffalo. And, another loss tonight. And the Sabres, for anybody that thought maybe postseason was in play, you can forget that. If it's not already mathematically almost done, it is. I mean, let's face it. Tonight, Carter Hutton, I thought, was Buffalo's best player. I mean, boy, did he have to be ready early and often. The Leafs put on a ton of pressure in the opening 5 minutes of play. The shots were like 13-2, less than 10 minutes into the game. And Hutton was excellent. And for Buffalo to be up 1-0 after one, I thought they felt very fortunate to do so. However, where I thought maybe they could spin that as a positive, you know what, guys? We got outplayed after 20 minutes, but we're winning. Now let's go out and show some energy that the Leafs are showing to us. And the second kind of went the same way. The shot total in period one was 19-7. And then the second period, basically a mirror image, it was 19-8. So the Sabres just really weren't able to match the energy of Toronto, I thought, for the majority of this game, especially early on when Hutton definitely kept them in it. I mean, this is not exaggerating. Toronto probably should have had three or four in the first period. Alex Nylander with a goal tonight for Buffalo. He's up first in the room. We go live to the locker room with Paul Hamilton.
Thanks, Brian. Alex, two periods. You guys weren't far behind, but still the play wasn't very good. What was happening in those first 40 minutes that you guys weren't playing very well?
I mean, we weren't keeping it simple. We weren't sticking to our game plan. They were coming hard at us from the start, and we weren't ready from the start. We just got to start playing simple and getting pucks to the offensive zone.
Was Carter Hutton really the only reason you were in that game?
Yeah, he was really, really good tonight. He stopped so many chances. It could have been a different game.
Now let's go to the positive. Your goal, tell me how it came about.
I saw Sobe coming from the corner, and I saw a little spot there in the slot to get open, and I was lucky enough to he made a great play, and I was lucky to get a shot that I went in.
You don't score if you don't get that quick release, do you? I mean, you got that off in no time.
Yeah, of course. I think if I would have held it a little second or not, something like that, somebody would have been on me, so I just tried to get it as quick as possible to the net.
Can that be a confidence booster going forward for you? I know you said you've been getting more confident.
Yeah, of course. It's obviously helps to get the first one out of there. And I'm just trying to play my game every game here and working hard and just enjoying all the time I get here.
Is this the type of game that can kind of test your patience with all the special teams time? You didn't get a whole lot of ice time in the first period. You kind of had to wait your chance to get an opportunity.
Yeah, of course. It's going to be games like that, and I just got to be ready when I get the chance to go on the ice.
A little more fun with Will sitting on the bench seeing you score a goal?
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a different game when I saw him out there. I haven't been, I'm not even used to that, but it was a lot of fun seeing him play tonight and playing against them tonight.
Is there anything that different that worked better with Casey and Vladimir with that line?
Yeah, I mean, we were getting, we obviously as a line, we had a tough start there in the beginning, but when we switched, I guess we got a little bit more momentum and we were moving our feet more and trying to create plays offensively and getting out of the D zone as quick as possible.
Thank you, Alex. Alex Nylander, post-game. Brian, back to you.
All right, Alex Nylander continuing to impress with his short time up since being called up from Rochester. He gets his first of the season here, a nice pass to the middle. Sobotka sets him up for his quick shot. And 5:37 into the third, we still had a game on the scoreboard. It was 3-2 Leafs. It didn't really feel like the Sabres were maybe going to take this one, but, I mean, they were one shot, one bounce away from tying that up in the third period of play. But the more important thing at this point with the standings not really a conversation point for this Buffalo team, what are you looking for to be excited here, at least for next year? A Nylander, at least, I think, continues to get better and better each game. He didn't get as much regular time tonight as the question was posed there because of all the penalties and the special teams play. But and there was some line juggling, too, going on because of the fact the Sabres were trying to kind of get something going, create a spark. But he's been good. Two assists in Buffalo's last game in that win over St. Louis on Sunday. I thought he was excellent in that game, too. So he's continuing to do what the Sabres obviously drafted him for, which was provide offense, provide skill. And he did that. I'm sure he was pumped to be out there with his brother, who, by the way, on that goal that Tavares scored to make it a 2-1 Leafs lead, I mean, he just absolutely was flying in. William Nylander, that is, that I'm referring to, just absolutely flying in, skating circles about the Sabres. His shot hits the crossbar. That's just a goal right there. I mean, it hits the crossbar. More on that in a moment. Back to the room. Here's Casey Mittelstadt, now live with Paul.
Thanks, Brian. Casey, how did you get that in? You were on a severe angle on that goal. How did you get it by him and up into the corner?
I guess I tried it. Rask kind of faked me. I tried to tip it, but I don't know. It just looked like the goalie wasn't back, so I just tried to throw it off his pad. And I guess sometimes you get lucky throw at the net, so it was good. Yeah, it was a lucky bounce.
How big was Carter for you guys tonight?
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to be better as a unit. Obviously, he bailed us out, I don't know, countless amount of times, and even the goals they scored, some of them lucky bounces, things like that, nothing he can do. So, I mean, he played a great game, and obviously we got to be better for him for sure.
Why was the 5-on-5 game so bad in the first 40 minutes?
I think we just weren't executing. I think there was plays there and plays we had to make, and I think we were just too slow and didn't execute quick enough. And obviously they've got a fast team, and they're going to come at you fast. So you got to move the puck quick, be ready to move, and that's kind of how you beat it. So, yeah, we got to be better for sure.
It looked like there were numerous times you guys could get the puck out of the zone and didn't, and then they would start another flurry in their offensive zone.
I think that kind of speaks for itself. Obviously, it all comes down to executing, whether you got to eat it or get it out. I think it's on everyone, and obviously, like we said, Hutz did a great job bailing us out, but we got to be better in front of him.
What was different with the Alex adding to your line there in the second period?
I guess I think Tage is a bigger, obviously has great hands, great shot, and Niels kind of flies around, and I don't know, I think we just kind of started moving our feet and read off each other well. I thought that Niels did a good job getting in on the forecheck and things like that, getting the puck back, and obviously on his goal you could see it all started with a good forecheck from him, and then Sobey makes a great pass, so. It was good. I thought we played pretty well in the third, and I think obviously there's something there.
Thanks, Casey. Casey Middlestead in the post game, and let me see. I believe Carter Hutton is by his locker, so let's walk over there. Carter, you had no luck at all tonight. All three goals deflected. Just no luck there.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, they generate those kind of chances. I don't really think it's luck. You know what I mean? That's just. You let a team get that many chances, they're going to put pucks in the back of your net.
Team didn't play very well in front of you. It just seemed like you spent 40 minutes in your zone, and you were pretty much the reason you guys were in that game.
Yeah, I thought we played well in the third there. But, again, you know, that's too good of a hockey team just to play one period. So, you know, it's obviously frustrating here on home ice. You know, we get a big win, and then, you know, we just can't answer the bell here today.
How good did you feel? I mean, you got a lot of action early. You looked in tune.
Yeah, I feel like I've been in tune for a long time, so it's just frustrating not winning.
Do you get the sense, though, that in these last four or five games in particular, your game is getting back to the point where it was earlier in the year at a high level?
I don't know. I think I've give our team a chance to win all year, so I just try to compete the best I can. I don't know. A lot of things are out of my control, so I think just try to simplify it and do what I can do.
Is that something that's been a key, though, the things that are out of your control? You're not maybe, you know, you're not letting them creep into your game, you're just playing your own game?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what I mean? I think we have a young team, so... You know, obviously sometimes it's a little different. It's been an adjustment, obviously, coming from a veteran team to a younger team. So, you know, I just try to take it as it comes and compete. And, you know, obviously at the end of the day, just trying to win hockey games. And, you know, it's obviously frustrating not winning.
Well, you put a lot on your own shoulders. I mean, this is you played, 44 games this year? It's the most you've ever played in one season. I mean, have you kind of learned how to kind of deal with the fact that sometimes you can't control, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, I think you can't control wins and losses sometimes as a goalie. You know, obviously you can do your best to try to steal games. But then again, like I talk about, like there's only so much I can control, right? So I just try to take it, you know, shot by shot. And whatever comes, you know, I can't control what they get. And, you know, at times I think right now I'm obviously really frustrated. I'm not very good at hiding it, but it's you know, it's one of those things. Tomorrow I just move on and get ready for the next one.
Is it just almost shocking, though, the way the wins and losses have felt? You guys haven't been able to put two in a row together for 3 months.
Yeah, it's I don't know. I wish I could put it into words. It's obviously frustrating, right? I think a lot of us wear it on our sleeve here. We put so much into this. This is, you know, put my heart and soul out there. So it's frustrating, right? You want to win. You want to be you want to contend and help this team get in the playoffs. And you know, right now obviously we're not doing that, so it's frustrating. But you know, then again, I just come back to work tomorrow and try to get better.
Thank you, Connor Hutton. And Brian, no way you can blame that guy for this game. Back to you.
No doubt, Buffalo's best player. Thank you, Paul. As the Sabres fall to the Toronto Maple Leafs by a 4-2 score. Carter Hutton, as Paul said, definitely excellent in this one. 42 saves in the loss. All right, for all of you local affiliates, this is where we say goodnight to you as we reach 10 o'clock. If you'd like to keep listening to the postgame, go to WGR550.com. And for all of you on WGR here in Buffalo on our flagship station, more Paul William Belt's postgame coming up. 4-2 Leafs the final. We'll be back with Phil Housley's postgame comments next. I'm Brian Colziel, live at 716. This is the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Nelson trying to get Matthews, a wraparound out in front of the shot. Whoa, what a save by Hutton. Carter Hutton rubs him blind. If you feel you want to call a cop, call a cop.
Now, Rick Jenneret, great call there. One of the many saves for Carter Hutton. He stopped 42 in all. as Buffalo falls to Toronto 4-2. That one right there, the save of the game, brought to you by Geico Local Office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote from local agent Scott Kaltman. Brian Colziel back here at a now mob 716 Food and Sport. And as I look around, I would say 8 out of every 10 in here are wearing a Leafs jersey. Pretty much what it felt like in the building tonight, I would say. There was a ton of Leafs fans there tonight. Loud as they always are, but tonight it just felt like they were a little bit more vocal. And, you know, Paul Hamilton said it, like, I get it at this point. I mean, the season's over in terms of meaningful hockey for Sabre fans. If you're a season ticket holder, you know, it's one of the rare nights where you could maybe make a little back on your investment on season tickets. So to call anybody out about selling, like, at this point with how the Sabres have skid, like, I don't blame anybody. So I agree with what Paul said in pregame. Phil Housley's postgame comments coming up here in just a few moments. Let's get you to the highlights from this one. We'll pick it up in the third period. Toronto up 2-1. And right away, opening shift of the third, Toronto adds to their lead. A Thompson turnover leads to a Marner goal.
And back behind the net, chopped all the way around on the boards. Thompson trying to get it out, couldn't do it. Now he gets it back again. And then he lost it again. Here's Marner shooting one, and he scored! On the turnover in the zone, Marner makes it a 3-1 game.
It felt like the backbreaker right away there to start the third. Thompson just kind of casually passes it off the wall. Tavares just takes it, feeds Marner in the net. His 25th of the season. That was just 22 seconds into the third period, and that ends up being the game-winning goal and the big moment of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. A nice moment, though, for the Sabres youngster, though, coming up just about 5 minutes later at 5:37. Nice pass to the middle, and Alex Nylander gets his first.
Got it to Buffalo's Nylander, and he brings it in over the line, tipped it around into the corner. Sabres trying to hold it in front of Nylander. He scores! Alexander Nylander! What a hunter brother in this game as he takes the pass from middle stat and guns it home, and it's 3-2.
Nylander at 5:37 makes it a game. He gets his first from Sobotka and Bogosian on a real quick shot. Yeah, but later in the game, Toronto adding the empty netter, Hyman's 18th at 19:27, a 4-2 Toronto final. All of your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. So with the win, Toronto, as we said now, 5 wins in a row against the Sabres, and Buffalo still has not won 2 in a row, dating back to December 11th and 13th. It is amazing. We are getting toward the end of March. Buffalo still cannot win 2 in a row. And guess what? There's only 8 games left. They're running out of time. They may actually go through the rest of the season without having a win streak. It'd be pretty incredible. Again, we've talked about so often the slide from first overall in the league, just how it bottomed out so, so fast. All right, final stats here before we get to Phil Housley. Shots in the third, 9-8 Buffalo, but in the game, just total domination by Toronto in that category, 46-24 Leafs in the shots. Power plays, Toronto 0-3, Buffalo 1-2. Special teams edge at least going the Sabres' way tonight. In goal, Garrett Sparks gets the win. Not tested that much in terms of quality opportunities. 24 shots, 22 saves. Carter Hutton, Buffalo's best player, he takes the loss. 45 shots, 42 saves. The 46th Toronto shot went into the empty net. 3 stars. Carter Hutton, star number 3. John Tavares, he had a goal and an assist. Star number 2. Austin Matthews, he had a goal and an assist. He is star number 1. But I thought Carter Hutton was the best player on the ice on both sides tonight. He's the high-impact player of the game. It's brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance tonight, it was a sellout, 19,070. Okay, Phil Housley making his way to the podium. Let's take you there live for his postgame comments.
Yeah, Carter Hutton bailed us out the first and second period. You know, we knew the magnitude of this game, the rivalry, and, you know, we didn't execute early. You know, we couldn't make a wall play. We didn't move our feet when we had the puck. We turned the puck over, and then it came right back after us, and we were chasing a lot. You know, couldn't kill a cycle. And then when we did have the puck, we didn't manage it very well. And they have a very good rush team, transition team, and their better players are really good tonight. Well, it starts at the breakout. You know, we didn't make a wall play for the first two periods. A lot of goals that were scored were because of our wall play. You know, we're trying to make plays, and sometimes the play is just maybe eat it on the wall, wait for help, and then five-man the puck out. And, you know, we just turned the puck over, but it, you know, from the top of the circles to the top of the circles, and I'm talking about the second period too. You know, we're getting on to attack, and we're trying to stick handle through people, and we don't kick it out and use the wide ice, and it comes back, and we just fed their transition all night.
Is that what made the difference in the third, though? You guys were able to forecheck a little bit better?
Well, we made a decision. We came back, supported the puck off the breakout. We managed the puck in the zone. We got it behind him, and then we established our forecheck. That was the game plan coming in. And when you don't do it for two periods, you're going to catch up, and it could have been a lot worse if it wasn't for Carter.
What is your level of discipline?
Well, I think just tonight, if I'm looking at tonight, I'm very, very disappointed in our game because it's a rivalry, and we knew the magnitude of the game, and we didn't execute.
The line switches, is that a factor of just things not working out?
Yeah, I mean, you're just trying to look for a spark, and, you know, when we started to make the right decisions, we started to get the pucks behind them, we supported the puck coming out of our zone, we got some quality looks. That's the reason why we got back into the game. And, you know, it was a nice feed by Sabaka and Nylander to get within one. And again, but, you know, you can't chase games. I mean, this team hasn't lost when they're winning or going in with the lead in the third period. They have not lost the game. You know, we can't keep putting ourselves in this position. I liked his game in the third period. I thought in the first period he was a little. You know, he didn't have that composure, that poise with the puck. He turned it over, but he found his game in the third period. Was a really nice shot.
Thank you.
All right, there's Sabres head coach Phil Housley following the loss to the Leafs tonight. His postgame comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 4-2, Toronto. They get two in the second, two in the third, one of them an empty netter. Carter Hutton, though, had played excellent throughout, as Phil Housley said. Housley, I think two or three times, used the word rivalry. Now, I know that fans are going to say it's not a rivalry right now. Toronto doesn't treat it as a rivalry. Look, the Sabres, you know, coming out of the lockout, those conference final runs, I mean, there was quite a big streak of how the Sabres dominated the Leafs. It seems like this series, unfortunately, one team is just never good. Sometimes they're both bad, but, like, even when one team is good, then the other is bad. Like, it never can truly, truly get itself going. You know, the last time these teams were good, at the same time they met in the playoffs, what was that, 99? Like, it's a 98? Like, it's a long time ago here. Yeah, the 99, yeah. I mean, it's a long time ago. Out of the conference final, you know, they're both bad early 2000s. Then out of the lockout, the Sabres get great. They go to the back-to-back conference finals. But Toronto stinks. I mean, the domination of Buffalo, of Toronto in this building. I mean, we had that, you know, record at one point. It was something like 17-1-2 or something crazy like that. You know, and now both teams go through their tank/rebuild modes, and Toronto has been able to rebuild much quicker. They're able to sign a marquee free agent in John Tavares this year. They're able to land a head coach that, from all indications, were the Sabres were interested in as well in Babcock. And now Toronto's off and running, and you know, Leaf fans are doing what they're doing, complaining about being good, as we know they are. The playoff format's going to really stink for Toronto, I think. They're going to have to go through Boston and Tampa even just to even have a sniff of getting near the Stanley Cup. I mean, might not even get out of the first round because I just think Boston is the more complete team. They have better goaltending. But nevertheless, here, my whole point in this, Housley keeps saying rivalry, all this. Just the Sabres have got to make these games a little better. It is all Toronto fans in these buildings. It makes the atmosphere good when there's some in there, but I mean, it was 80% fans Leafs tonight. And again, I'm not blaming any Sabre fan for selling their tickets tonight. It's probably one of the few nights they might be able to make some money back. But Housley knows this is a rivalry. Do the players know? Do they get up for it? It didn't feel like it through the first 40 minutes tonight. The Sabres were a little better in the third, but they did not bring it hard, in my opinion. I mean, the shot totals just tell you that. Besides, you know, looking at possession time, looking at shot attempts. But you just look at the shots. I mean, in the first two periods, it was 38-15. I mean, that's enough to tell you right there how the game was played. And Carter Hutton was outstanding. But, geez, someday, you remember when the Sabres were in first overall or then even just, you know, right after that, and we thought, well, Tampa is going to pull away with this division, which they are, by the way. We were sitting here thinking, boy, could Buffalo and Toronto play in the playoffs? Could that be the 2-3 matchup? How amazing would that be? Maybe to actually make it a rivalry. It just seems like when one is actually, gets going, the other is not. Just be amazing if these two, again, could be good at the same time. Toronto has filled out their end of the bargain. The Sabres, I mean, you've got Eichel and Matthews. Tavares is there. I mean, you looked like maybe hoping for a while it would be Eichel versus Matthews for many years, and this rivalry would be there, and you'd have the fans back and forth. It's fizzled out again, and now the Leafs are dominating. They've won 5 in a row. It would be amazing for just hockey in this area if these games really, really meant something. And to have meaningless games again, at least for one team, or at least the home team in this building, just very disappointing. Because if these games meant something in the standings in March, the atmosphere would be just through the roof. It would be incredible. It would be to the point where if you're a Sabre fan season ticket holder, or you're a Sabre season ticket holder, you can't sell those tickets. Because this is the must-be-at game. Instead, it's the total opposite way. It's the one game you can sell and make money because you've sold your other tickets all year for $9 a game. It's too bad. Pat Malacaro is here with me now. I don't think I have you on here, Pat. You are, now we can get you on.
Perfect. There we go.
I was just saying, like, Housley said the word rivalry 2 or 3 times.
Yeah.
And how, he's like, we knew it was a rivalry. We talked about the magnitude of the game. In essence, for the Sabres, this was a meaningless game in the standings. But he is trying to build this up like, guys, this is a big game. This means something. Like, look at all these Leafs fans that are here. Like,
play for pride.
And to have 40 right. minutes of just stinky hockey, like, okay, they're clearly not, you know, I don't want to sit here and debate with, oh, they've tuned out their coach. Like, that's not my point here. My
right.
point is that Housley's aware that this could be something special if these two teams are both playing their best. And, boy, when the schedule came out and we saw that the second half of the season had a lot of Toronto-Buffalo games, we're thinking, boy, if these just had meaning.
And look at how the first four meetings this season went. They were all exciting games. They were all up and down, even when the Sabres lost in Toronto a couple times. The games had some juice behind them. They had some energy and life. And, you know, the one here that the Sabres lost with a second to go in overtime when Matthews had that, you know, incredible shot to win the game. I mean, that was exciting. It was up and down, end to end. Toronto plays that style. They're offense first. You know, they'll play defense as good as they can, but they're built for offense. They're built for speed, the way this league is going. So you look at it and you say, you know, what was the difference this time? And unfortunately for the Sabres, you know, coming off that third period on Sunday, you were looking for maybe a similar type of response or at least similar type of start tonight, and you just didn't get that.
Yeah. 4-2 Leafs. Brian Colziel now joined by Pat Malacaro. Let's grab a few calls here. We still will get you our look around the league. We'll update you on the standings and talk about the Montreal game all coming up here. Let's go to – hold on 1 second here. Let me adjust the computer. There's a lot of buttons for me to work here, Pat.
It's a dangerous proposition.
That's right. Okay, George in Buffalo. Hi, George. Go ahead. You're on the postgame show.
Hey, Bri. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to get your take on the third period. I always appreciate your honesty on the postgame show, but when the third period started, I could not believe that I saw Jack Eichel with Connor Sheary and Tage Thompson, who, by most accounts of all media, shouldn't even be up here, and every fan, I think, feels the same way. What do you... You're talking about putting your best player by far with a guy, he couldn't put the puck in the ocean if he's standing on the beach. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, Thompson, I mean, he had a rough turnover, which led to that game-winning goal from Marner. He's been struggling. There's no doubt about it. He has been handled differently than even Alex Nylander. I thought they had equal training camps. If not anything, I might have put Nylander's ahead, but they decided to send Nylander to Rochester. They decided to keep Thompson here. Early season struggles, they kept him here, Pat, despite scratching him. Then it seemed like part of, well, as the whole team did during that win streak, then he seemed like, okay, there's progression, there's growth. Right. But he has definitely tailed off, and we haven't seen much growth at all here, basically in the 2019 portion of the schedule.
To the caller's question, I think that's a situation where you put your best playmaker on the ice with guys to try and create offense.
Right.
You may have seen signs that Thompson, in bits and pieces, you know, can give you offense. Maybe he's not finishing on the chances, but you're maybe the thinking is if you just increase those amount of chances, then it gives you the ability to maybe cash in on one of those. So you've got a couple of guys that have been close and almost sometimes, and in Sherry's case at times has gone on streaks where he'll score in a couple of bunches. So if you can get that, then you know, maybe that's why you put Jack Eichel with someone like that, so you can try and spark the offense from somewhere other than just the traditional line that's been scoring for the most part of the season.
Yeah, and I wouldn't read too much into third period lines when the Sabres, I think, were totally outclassed for the first 40 minutes. I'm sure it was Housley's way of trying to, quote, create a spark.
Right.
And, yes, Thompson has been struggling. At that point, you know, if you're viewing it as, oh, this is a negative for Eichel that he has to play with Thompson, like, I guess I can see that. But at this point, Housley's probably just flipping coins, saying, hey, let's try this combo and see if anything works here, because the first 40 minutes was a disaster.
Right. I don't think it's a slight to Eichel at all. I think it's to the point that you need your best playmaker out there in some situations, and maybe he can help with other players create offense.
Make,
and that's
make
exactly
Thompson
what
better.
Right. So that's exactly what Jack Eichel's put out there to do.
Yeah. 4-2 Leafs. Brian Colziel here now with Pat Mellicaro at 716. Brian is up next here on the postgame. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say the goalie was the best player on the ice for us again, along with a few good ones just by Rasmus Dahlin. And then I really was impressed with Jack Eichel on offensively, not so much defensively coming back and contributing, but I did like the Nylander line, especially. I'm not sure if it was his first NHL goal or not, but he looked really good bearing that puck tonight.
I agree. I thought Nylander, again, one of the rare nice things that we're watching here for these during this final stretch that might just give you some glimmer of hope that maybe there's someone good here beyond Eichel and Dahlin, and you hope Jeff Skinner, if he returns. That's all about, you know, at this point, you could poke a hole in pretty much anybody else on this team.
And we went into the night hearing from Jason Botchel on the pregame show tonight with Chope and the Bulldog, and you know, they talked to him at length about the roster makeup, some of these young players, Nylander and Tage Thompson specifically, and this is a player that you want to see over the final couple of games. We've seen that where he's gotten opportunities in the past with the Sabres, and now he's getting a chance to score a very nice goal, and you want to see more out of him with that, and you know, for his second career NHL goal.
That's right. 4-2 Leafs the final. When we come back, we'll get Pat's check of the night in the NHL. We'll also update you on that Arizona State St. John's game. We know the winner gets UB on Friday in Tulsa, so we'll have that update. And also the rest of the conversation with Jason Botchel. We played the first part of it during our second intermission. We'll have the rest of it tonight. So if you're in your car driving home from KeyBank Center, you'll have the Sabres GM coming your way here in just a couple of minutes. The Paul William Belts postgame show rolling on from 716. 4-2 Leafs, the final. Buffalo plays in Montreal on Saturday at 7 o'clock. That is our next broadcast. Back with more, though, postgame right after this on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Moore jammed it in over the line, but taken back by Nelson. Nelson having difficulty. He got knocked down from behind. And then, in turn, the knockee got knocked down. That was Trevor Moore.
Rick Jenneret right there. A couple of physical hits. We'll call them the decks of the game. Brought to you by Seneca Poker inside the Seneca Niagara Casino. The real deal for winners only. Brian Colziel along with Pat Mellicaro back here at 716 on our Paul William Belts postgame. Time for our Sabres core group feature. How did the core group perform? Well, maybe the future core. Dahlin and Nylander making some nice plays that both led to goals tonight, Pat.
Yeah, and for Rasmus Dahlin, you know, another good night. You know, we saw him tussle in the corner at one point, physical action, trying to keep certain Leaf players away from the puck and even away from the action, not afraid to mix it up a little bit. So for Rasmus Dahlin, Another one of those nights where he was very noticeable in a good way for the Sabres, which we've seen a lot this year.
Absolutely. Sabres Core Group feature brought to you by Corrigan Moving. For your next move, count on your core group of friends at Corrigan. All right, well, Montreal's up next. Before we look ahead to the game with the Habs on Saturday night, we want to check the night in the NHL as well as maybe who UB is going to face on Friday. For more on that, here again, here's Pat Mellicaro.
Thanks, Brian. We'll hit the hardwood in just a second. They've gone to overtime in Washington. Last-second goal in the third period has given the Capitals and Lightning a 4-4 tie. About 3.5 to go in the extra frame there. 9 minutes into the opening stanza in Vancouver where the Canucks and Senators are scoreless. Same for the Ducks and Jets. There is no score in Anaheim. Now to college basketball where UB and its fans are waiting to see who they will play on Friday in Tulsa. And at the half, Arizona State leads St. John's 38-25. So the winner of that game will take on UB in Tulsa coming up on Friday. We know that North Dakota State will go on to face Duke in the East region as the 16 seed facing the number one as the Bison defeat NC Central by a score of 78-74. And it looks like Victor Hedman has just scored the game winner for the Lightning as they now defeat the Capitals in overtime 5-4.
Crushing for my fantasy playoff matchup. I'm playing against Hedman.
I feel for you.
Yes. Defensive goal plus game-winning goal. That's going to be a monster point against there. So Ovechkin here is taking it out a 2-on-1. This game looks wild, by the way.
Oop,
he falls
he blew
down.
Up. Yep. And so does the referee.
And so does the ref. Back come Tampa here as we do illegal play-by-play. Although it's over, we can do play-by-play.
Yeah.
And then he beats
Nice move by
Holtby.
Edmund. Nice forehand, move. Backhand.
Yep.
Dunzo.
Gets him down, backhand in. Tampa 5, Washington 4 in overtime. Is this a Eastern Finals preview here?
I hope.
I hope so, too.
This is probably NBC and the NHL's dream before the finals if you get these two teams.
I agree. Be a tremendous, just the pace of that game. Oh, be so much fun to watch that.
Yep.
All right, so right now, Bobby Hurley's team playing great against St. John's.
They might get the
NCAA might get the matchup they were looking for, Hurley versus Oates in the first round coming up on Friday. It just started the second half.
Yeah.
It's only 13. It's not an insurmountable advantage, but at the moment it's looking like it's trending toward Arizona State.
Long way to go, but I'll say this. The tournament committee did not do the Bulls any favors. I would think UB should be able to handle either team they have to play, but if you told me going into it UB was going to be a 6 seed, I would have thought, A, they probably are playing close to home because they're probably a high 6 seed.
Right.
And they
Which they're not.
Right. And they probably wouldn't play two teams from pretty good basketball conferences, some of the best conferences in the league. I think the committee ranking them 23rd overall and having them play either Arizona State or St. John's, I mean, to me that just screams that unfortunately for the Bulls, the conference they're in did not get as much respect from the committee as certainly Villanova and Iowa State.
As I look at the other 11s, in terms of matchups, I think the Bulls would have matched up better with the other 11, Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a very team that struggles to score. Belmont can shoot, but I still think UB a bigger, stronger team. They still play with pace. St. Mary's, an 11. They did have that nice win against Gonzaga, but that's about the only thing on their resume. They haven't really played anybody else. Arizona State here, you know, they're playing in the Pac-12. It's down this year. Maybe that's why they viewed Arizona State there. But Hurley, knowing that team, probably just as good as any that he would know outside of his conference.
Yep.
You know, again, I know that he didn't recruit necessarily almost anybody on this team other than Nick Perkins, I believe, was the only one that he recruited. But still, I mean, he's following Buffalo. He didn't totally ignore them.
And look, again, you've got Iowa State as a 6.
And Texas Tech coming in. Yeah.
Right. You've got Iowa State as a 6 playing in Tulsa, which is fairly close to home, closer to home. And you've got Villanova playing in Hartford, another team that's playing close to home. And then UB has to go out to Oklahoma. So, you know, it's the sort of the double whammy. It's not a good matchup, and you're playing probably the furthest of any of the 6 seeds.
Even the length of the distance between Buffalo to Tulsa, it's a tough get to too.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, we've already also mentioned too that the committee did just the university no favors by scheduling the women at the same time.
Yeah, like and that fact
is
too.
Something that I thought was just a terrible move.
I mean, yeah.
First of all, this is not a slight on UB in any way. Like, this is not Duke. This is just not routine that these teams are always there. And, you know, so what? They're playing at the same time. They're always there. They're all going to advance. Like, it's a big deal for Buffalo to have both them in there. And maybe let's hope that soon that both these teams are always regularly there. But even the logistics of staffing, you know, which game does the AD have to go to? I mean, look at even us here, our station, we broadcast both the games. You got to, now we got to figure out the logistics of doing that. Of course, the women deserve just as much attention as the men. And now you're asking fans to choose or at least flick back and forth. They each deserve their own moment.
It's very unfortunate.
And to be able to not be able to watch each game with all your attention, for Bulls fans or just Western New York sports fans, like it could have been handled so much better. And I understand the games in stores. You want UConn to play maybe at the time they want, so give them the 6:30 game. If that's the time they want.
Right.
But guess what? You could have played the UB game then at 9 after.
Right.
If that was, you know, going to be some, if they figured that it could conflict, but whatever. The committee doesn't care about stuff like that. It's all about TV and what they want at that time. And we know that's how just sports works. It's not just Division I college basketball. That's how it all works.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Before we leave you, Jason Bottrell spoke with our Chopa the Bulldog on our flagship here earlier on WGR today. We played first few minutes of the interview during our second intermission tonight, and we're going to play the rest of it for you right now. Some good topics coming up, including talking about some of the youngsters, including a guy like Nylander that you saw on the ice tonight. So, before we leave you here on the Paul William Belts postgame, here's a few more minutes. Chopin the Bulldog earlier today with the Sabres general manager. Here's Jason Bottrell.
Nelson trying to get Matthews, a wraparound out in front of the shot. Whoa, what a save by Hutton. Carter Hutton rubs him blind. If you feel you want to call a cop, call a cop.
Rick Jenneret, great call there. One of the many saves for Carter Hutton. He stopped 42 in all as Buffalo falls to Toronto 4-2. That one right there, the save of the game, brought to you by Geico Local Office West Seneca. Save up to 15% in just 15 minutes. Get your free Geico quote from local agent Scott Kaltman. Brian Colziel back here at a now mob 716 Food and Sport. And as I look around, I would say 8 out of every 10 in here are wearing a Leafs jersey. Pretty much what it felt like in the building tonight, I would say. There was a ton of Leafs fans there tonight, loud as they always are. But tonight it just felt like they were a little bit more vocal. And, you know, Paul Hamilton said it. Like, I get it at this point. I mean, the season's over in terms of meaningful hockey for Sabre fans. If you're a season ticket holder, you know, it's one of the rare nights where you could maybe make a little back on your investment on season tickets. So to call anybody out about selling, like, at this point with how the Sabres have skid, like, I don't blame anybody. So I agree with what Paul said in pregame. Phil Housley's postgame comments coming up here in just a few moments. Let's get you to the highlights from this one. We'll pick it up in the third period. Toronto up 2-1. And right away, opening shift of the third. Toronto adds to their lead. A Thompson turnover leads to a Marner goal.
And back behind the net, chopped all the way around on the boards. Thompson trying to get it out, couldn't do it. Now he gets it back again. And then he lost it again. Here's Marner shooting one, and he scored! On the turnover in the zone, Marner makes it a 3-1 game.
It felt like the backbreaker right away there to start the third. Thompson just kind of casually passes it off the wall. Tavares just takes it, feeds Marner in the net. His 25th of the season, that was just 22 seconds into the third period, and that ends up being the game-winning goal and the big moment of the game, brought to you by Firth Jewelers. For all the moments in your life, go forth to Firth. A nice moment, though, for the Sabres youngster, though, coming up just about 5 minutes later at 5:37. Nice pass to the middle, and Alex Nylander gets his first.
Got it to Buffalo's Nylander, and he brings it in over the line, tipped it around into the corner. Sabres trying to hold it in front of Nylander. He scores! Alexander Nylander! As he takes the pass from middle stat and guns it home, and it's 3-2.
Under at 5:37, makes it a game. He gets his first from Saboka and Bogosian on a real quick shot. But later in the game, Toronto adding the empty netter, Hyman's 18th at 19:27, a 4-2 Toronto final. All of your highlights delivered by Speed Global Services around the corner or around the world. Speed delivers. Visit speedgs.com. So with the win, Toronto, as we said now, 5 wins in a row against the Sabres, and Buffalo still has not won 2 in a row, dating back to December 11th and 13th. It is amazing. We are getting toward the end of March. Buffalo still cannot win 2 in a row. And guess what? There's only 8 games left. They're running out of time. They may actually go through the rest of the season without having a win streak. It'd be pretty incredible. Again, we've talked about so often the slide from first overall in the league, just how it bottomed out so, so fast. All right, final stats here before we get to Phil Housley. Shots in the third, 9-8 Buffalo, but in the game, just total domination by Toronto in that category, 46-24 Leafs in the shots. Power plays, Toronto 0-3, Buffalo 1-2. Special teams edge at least going the Sabres' way tonight. In goal, Garrett Sparks gets the win. Not tested that much in terms of quality opportunities. 24 shots, 22 saves. Carter Hutton, Buffalo's best player, he takes the loss. 45 shots, 42 saves. The 46th Toronto shot went into the empty net. 3 stars, Carter Hutton, star number 3. John Tavares, he had a goal and an assist. Star number 2, Austin Matthews, he had a goal and an assist. He is star number 1. But I thought Carter Hutton was the best player on the ice on both sides tonight. He's the high-impact player of the game. It's brought to you by the Lockport Outdoor Store. High-impact gear for hardworking men and women. You'll travel 1,000 miles to find a store like ours. The attendance tonight, it was a sellout, 19,070. Okay, Phil Housley making his way to the podium. Let's take you there live for his post-game comments.
Yeah, Carter Hutton bailed us out the first and second period. You know, we knew the magnitude of this game, the rivalry, and you know, we didn't execute early. You know, we couldn't make a wall play. We didn't move our feet when we had the puck. We turned the puck over, and then it came right back after us, and we were chasing a lot. You know, couldn't kill a cycle. And then when we did have the puck, we didn't manage it very well. And they have a very good rush team, transition team, and their better players are really good tonight.
So you talk a lot about Leafs being fast, and you talked a lot about this year, about your team looking slow. Is this a classic case of what you're talking about? You guys aren't moving your feet, aren't working the puck, and it makes you look slow?
Well, it starts at the breakout. You know, we didn't make a wall play for the first 2 periods. A lot of goals that were scored were because of our wall play. You know, we're trying to make plays, and sometimes the play is just maybe eat it on the wall, wait for help, and then 5-man the puck out. And, we just turned the puck over, from the top of the circles to the top of the circles, and I'm talking about the second period too. You know, we're getting on to attack, and we're trying to stick handle through people, and we don't kick it out and use the wide ice, and comes back, and we just fed their transition all night.
Is that what made the difference in the third, though? You guys were able to forecheck a little bit better?
Well, we made a decision. We came back, supported the puck off the breakout. We managed the puck in the zone. We got it behind him, and then we established our forecheck. That was the game plan coming in. And when you don't do it for 2 periods, you're going to catch up, and it could have been a lot worse if it wasn't for Carter.
What's your level of discipline?
Well, I think just tonight, if I'm looking at tonight, I'm very, very disappointed in our game because it's a rivalry, and we knew the magnitude of the game, and we didn't execute.
The line switches, is that a factor of just things not working out?
Yeah, I mean, you're just trying to look for a spark, and, you know, when we started to make the right decisions, we started to get the pucks behind them. We supported the puck coming out of our zone. We got some quality looks. That's the reason why we got back into the game. And, you know, it was a nice feed by Sabaka and Nylander to get within one. And again, but, you know, you can't chase games. I mean, this team hasn't lost when they're winning or going in with the lead in the third period. They have not lost the game. You know, we can't keep putting ourselves in this position. I liked his game in the third period. I thought in the first period he was a little... you know, he didn't have that composure, that poise with the puck. He turned it over, but he found his game in the third period. Was a really nice shot.
Thank you.
All right, there's Sabres head coach Phil Housley following the loss to the Leafs tonight. His post-game comments brought to you by Paul William Belts, your power of attorney. 4-2, Toronto. They get 2 in the second, 2 in the third, 1 of them an empty netter. Carter Hutton, though, had played excellent throughout, as Phil Housley said. Housley think two or three times, used the word rivalry. Now, I know that fans are going to say it's not a rivalry right now. Toronto doesn't treat it as a rivalry. Look, the Sabres, you know, coming out of the lockout, those conference final runs, I mean, there was quite a big streak of how the Sabres dominated the Leafs. It seems like this series, unfortunately, one team is just never good. Sometimes they're both bad. But, like, even when one team is good, then the other is bad. Like, it never can truly, truly get itself going. You know, the last time these teams were good at the same time they met in the playoffs, what was that, 99? Like, it's a 98? Like, it's a long time ago here. Yeah, the 99, yeah. I mean, it's a long time ago. Out of the conference final, you know, they're both bad early 2000s. Then out of the lockout, the Sabres get great. They go to the back-to-back conference finals. But Toronto stinks. I mean, the domination of Buffalo, of Toronto in this building. I mean, we had that, you know, record. At one point, it was something like 17-1-2 or something crazy like that. You know, and now both teams go through their tank-slash-rebuild modes, and Toronto has been able to rebuild much quicker. They're able to sign a marquee free agent in John Tavares this year. They're able to land a head coach that, from all indications, were the Sabres were interested in as well in Babcock. And now Toronto's off and running, and, you know, Leaf fans are doing what they're doing, complaining about being good, as we know they are. The playoff format's going to really stink for Toronto, I think. They're going to have to go through Boston and Tampa even just to even have a sniff of getting near the Stanley Cup. I mean, might not even get out of the first round because I just think Boston is the more complete team. They have better goaltending. But nevertheless, here, my whole point in this, Housley keeps saying rivalry, all this. Just the Sabres have got to make these games a little better. It is all Toronto fans in these buildings. It makes the atmosphere good when there's some in there. But, I mean, it was 80% fans Leafs tonight. And, again, I'm not blaming any Sabre fan for selling their tickets tonight. It's probably one of the few nights they might be able to make some money back. But Housley knows this is a rivalry. Do the players know? Do they get up for it? It didn't feel like it through the first 40 minutes tonight. The Sabres were a little better in the third, but they did not bring it hard, in my opinion. I mean, the shot totals just tell you that. Besides, you know, looking at possession time, looking at shot attempts, but you just look at the shots. I mean, in the first two periods, it was 38-15. I mean, that's enough to tell you right there how the game was played, and Carter Hutton was outstanding. But, geez, someday, you remember when the Sabres were in first overall, or then even just, you know, right after that, and we thought, well, Tampa is going to pull away with this division, which they are, by the way. We were sitting here thinking, boy, could Buffalo and Toronto play in the playoffs? Could that be the 2-3 matchup? How amazing would that be? Maybe to actually make it a rivalry. It just seems like when one is actually, gets going, the other is not. Just be amazing if these two, again, could be good at the same time. Toronto has filled out their end of the bargain. The Sabres, I mean, you've got Eichel and Matthews. Tavares is there. I mean, you looked like maybe hoping for a while it would be Eichel versus Matthews for many years, and this rivalry would be there, and you'd have the fans back and forth. It's fizzled out again, and now the Leafs are dominating. They've won 5 in a row. It would be amazing for just hockey in this area if these games really, really meant something. And to have meaningless games again, at least for one team, or at least the home team in this building, just very disappointing. Because if these games meant something in the standings in March, the atmosphere would be just through the roof. It would be incredible. It would be to the point where if you're a Sabre fan season ticket holder, or you're a Sabre season ticket holder, you can't sell those tickets because this is the must-be-at game. Instead, it's the total opposite way. It's the one game you can sell and make money because you've sold your other tickets all year for $9 a game. It's too bad. Pat Malacaro is here with me now. I don't think I have you on here, Pat. You are, now we can get you on.
Perfect. There we go.
I was just saying, like, Housley said the word rivalry two or three times.
Yeah.
And how he's like, we knew it was a rivalry. We talked about the magnitude of the game. In essence, for the Sabres, this was a meaningless game in the standings. But he is trying to build this up like, guys, this is a big game. This means something. Like, look at all these Leafs fans that are here. Like,
play for pride.
And to have 40 right. minutes of just stinky hockey, like, okay, they're clearly not, you know, I don't want to sit here and debate with, oh, they've tuned out their coach. Like, that's not my point here. My
right.
point is that Housley's aware that this could be something special if these two teams are both playing their best. And, boy, when the schedule came out and we saw that the second half of the season had a lot of Toronto-Buffalo games, we're thinking, boy, if these just had meaning.
And look at how the first four meetings this season went. They were all exciting games. They were all up and down, even when the Sabres lost. in Toronto a couple times. The games had some juice behind them. They had some energy and life. And, you know, the one here that the Sabres lost with a second to go in overtime when Matthews had that, you know, incredible shot to win the game. I mean, that was exciting. It was up and down, end to end. Toronto plays that style. They're offense first. You know, they'll play defense as good as they can, but they're built for offense. They're built for speed, the way this league is going. So you look at it and you say, you know, what was the difference this time? And unfortunately for the Sabres, you know, coming off that third period on Sunday, you were looking for maybe a similar type of response or at least similar type of start tonight, and you just didn't get that.
Yeah. 4-2 Leafs. Brian Colziel now joined by Pat Mellicaro. Let's grab a few calls here. We still will get you our look around the league. We'll update you on the standings and talk about the Montreal game all coming up here. Let's go to, hold on 1 second here. Let me adjust the computer. It's a lot of buttons for me to work here, Pat.
It's all a dangerous right. proposition.
That's right. Okay, George in Buffalo. Hi, George. Go ahead. You're on the postgame show.
Hey, Bri. Thanks for taking my call. Just wanted to get your take on the third period. I always appreciate your honesty on the postgame show, but when the third period started, I could not believe that I saw Jack Eichel with Connor Sheary and Tage Thompson, who, by most accounts of all media, shouldn't even be up here, and every fan, I think, feels the same way. What do you? You're talking about putting your best player by far with a guy he couldn't put the puck in the ocean if he's standing on the beach. You know, what do you think?
Yeah, Thompson, I mean, he had a rough turnover, which led to that game-winning goal from Marner. He's been struggling. There's no doubt about it. He has been handled differently than even Alex Nylander. I thought they had equal training camps. If not anything, I might have put Nylander's ahead, but they decided to send Nylander to Rochester. They decided to keep Thompson here. Early season struggles, they kept him here, Pat, despite scratching him. Then it seemed like part of, well, as the whole team did during that win streak, then he seemed like, okay, there's progression, there's growth.
Right.
But he has definitely tailed off, and we haven't seen much growth at all here, basically in the 2019 portion of the schedule.
To the caller's question, I think that's a situation where you put your best playmaker on the ice with guys to try and create offense.
Right.
You may have seen signs that Thompson, in bits and pieces, you know, can give you offense. Maybe he's not finishing on the chances, but you're maybe the thinking is if you just increase those amount of chances, then it gives you the ability to maybe cash in on one of those. So you've got a couple of guys that have been close in almost sometimes, and in Sherry's case at times has gone on streaks where he'll score in a couple of bunches. So if you can get that, then you know, maybe that's why you put Jack Eichel with someone like that, so you can try and spark the offense from somewhere other than just the traditional line that's been scoring for the most part of the season.
Yeah, and I wouldn't read too much into third period lines when the Sabres, I think, were totally outclassed for the first 40 minutes. I'm sure it was Housley's way of trying to, quote, create a spark.
Right.
And, yes, Thompson has been struggling. At that point, you know, if you're viewing it as, oh, this is a negative for Eichel that he has to play with Thompson, like, I guess I can see that. But at this point, Housley's probably just flipping coins, saying, hey, let's try this combo and see if anything works here, because the first 40 minutes was a disaster.
Right. I don't think it's a slight to Eichel at all. I think it's to the point that you need your best playmaker out there in some situations, and maybe he can help with other players create offense.
Make,
and that's
make
exactly
Thompson
what
better.
Right. So that's exactly what Jack Eichel's put out there to do.
Yeah. 4-2 Leafs. Brian Colziel here now with Pat Mellicaro at 716. Brian is up next here on the postgame. Hi, Brian. Go ahead.
Yeah, I wanted to say the goalie was the best player on the ice for us again, along with a few good ones just by Rasmus Dahlin. And then I really was impressed with Jack Eichel on offensively, not so much defensively coming back and contributing, but I did like the Nylander line, especially. I'm not sure if it was his first NHL goal or not, but he looked really good bearing that puck tonight.
I agree. I thought Nylander, again, one of the rare nice things that we're watching here for these during this final stretch that might just give you some glimmer of hope that maybe there's someone good here beyond Eichel and Dahlin, and you hope Jeff Skinner, if he returns. That's all about, you know, at this point, you could poke a hole in pretty much anybody else on this team.
And we went into the night hearing from Jason Botchel on the pregame show tonight, with Chope and the Bulldog, and you know they talked to him at length about the roster makeup, some of these young players, Nylander and Tage Thompson specifically, and this is a player that you want to see over the final couple of games. We've seen that where he's gotten opportunities in the past with the Sabres, and now he's getting a chance to score a very nice goal, and you want to see more out of him with that, and you know, for his second career NHL goal.
That's right. 4-2 Leafs the final. When we come back, we'll get Pat's check of the night in the NHL. We'll also update you on that Arizona State St. John's game. We know the winner gets UB on Friday in Tulsa, so we'll have that update. And also the rest of the conversation with Jason Bottrell. We played the first part of it during our second intermission. We'll have the rest of it tonight. So if you're in your car driving home from KeyBank Center, you'll have the Sabres GM coming your way here in just a couple of minutes. The Paul William Belts postgame show rolling on from 716. 4-2 Leafs the final. Buffalo plays in Montreal on Saturday at 7 o'clock. That is our next broadcast. Back with more, though, postgame right after this on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
Night.
That was Sabres General Manager Jason Bottrell. Again, if you didn't get a chance to hear the entire interview, you can check it out on our on-demand section, WGR550.com. So Toronto makes it 5 in a row for wins against Buffalo as they win tonight 4-2. The Sabres' next play Saturday in Montreal. I'll have pregame at 6, face-off just after 7 o'clock, of course, right here on the Sabres Radio Network. And that'll put a wrap here on our Paul William Belts postgame show from 716. I want to thank our crew tonight, TJ Luckman, our network producer, Pat Malacaro, our anchor, Paul Hamilton, our reporter, Shope the Bulldog on the pregame, and of course our game announcers, Rick Jenneret and Rob Ray. My name is Brian Colziel. Thank you for listening. Again, the final, Toronto 4, Buffalo 2. We'll talk to you on Saturday with the Sabres and the Canadiens right here on the Buffalo Sabres Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.